Translation: persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifest in their hearts within a short time. Please repeat. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Chief devotees or materialistic devotees of the Lord are very much desirous to see the Lord personally without meeting the requisite qualifications. Such third-grade devotees should know well that material attachment and seeing the Lord face to face cannot go together. It is not such a mechanical process that the professional Bhagavatam reciters can do the job on behalf of the third grade materialistic pseudo-devotees. The professional men are useless in this connection because they are neither self-realized nor interested in the liberation of the audience. They are simply interested in maintaining the material establishment of family attachment and earning some material benefits out of the profession. Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live. But for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always by one's own effort and with serious devotion also. That will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. The pseudo-devotee, however, is very anxious to see the Lord according to his whims, not making any serious effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and without detachment from material benefit. That is not the way recommended by an authority like Maharaj Parikshit, who heard and benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. So here Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us how one must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not think that he can hear Srimad Bhagavatam just 1 day or 2 days and then he would be able to see Krishna face to face. Actually, that kind of mentality is very prevalent in India. In India, people just make a very little endeavor to know Krishna or to understand Krishna consciousness, and they begin to think that they are self-realized. It's a very, very conceited attitude. Actually, it is not so easy to what to talk about see Krishna. Even to understand Krishna is not so easy. It's very, very difficult because, as I was trying to explain last evening, that Krishna cannot be understood by our material senses. With our material senses we cannot perceive Krishna, and with our material intelligence we cannot understand Krishna. If we want to understand Krishna, then we have to understand Him with our spiritual intelligence. Actually, we all are spiritual entities. Our original identity is spiritual. We are spirit souls. But unfortunately, due to our material entanglements, we have become bound by the material nature and we have become covered over by our material body and material senses. That's why our spiritual senses has become inactive. Our spiritual senses are not acting now. It's only our material senses, our material mind, our material intelligences are acting. But when we become spiritualized, when we develop our spiritual identity, then it becomes automatically manifest. When we develop our spiritual identity, then automatically our spiritual senses develop. Automatically our spiritual mind develops and our spiritual intelligence develops. So it is very important that for a person who is willing to understand Krishna, who is willing to be spiritually situated, must try to become detached from material attachments and develop his spiritual identity. If we are materially contaminated, then automatically our spiritual identity is covered. It is either or. Our consciousness, we have to look at it this way. We have our spirit soul is giving out the consciousness. And unfortunately in the material platform, due to our material bondage, our consciousness is flowing through our material body or material senses. Our consciousness is there, that is, consciousness is spiritual. But it is projected through matter, projected through our material body, through our material senses, through our material mind. So what we perceive is also material, because our spiritual consciousness has become materialized. It is like when we put on a glass, say when you put on a green glass, then what happens? We see everything green, isn't it? Right? Or when you put on a red glass, we see everything red. Actually, our eyes are not red or green or blue. Our eyes have the ability to see things as they are. But because of the covering of the glass, due to the color of the glass, we are seeing everything colored. But when you take the glass off, then we see things as they are. The same way, we have got the covering of material senses over our spiritual consciousness. So that's why we are seeing everything, we are perceiving everything materially. Everything appears to be material. But when we take over, when we take away our material covering, when our material covering is removed, then we see everything as it is. And that is, like then we see everything as spiritual. So we cannot say that we will have our material consciousness, at the same time we will see the spiritual identity of ourselves and spiritual identity of the Lord. That never happens. If we want to see the spirit, then we have to take over, we have to remove the material covering. And material covering means material attachments. It's our material attachment that causes the material covering. But when we become detached from matter, then automatically we become spiritually enlivened. Our spiritual consciousness immediately becomes manifest. That's why it is very important for a spiritualist, a person who wants to make advancement in spiritual life, to become detached from material attachments. And that's why Prabhupada gave us this system. And what is the system? The system is follow the four regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna. When you follow four regulative principles, then you automatically, not automatically, but gradually, become detached from material attachments. Like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So when one gives up these four sinful activities, even mentally, then he becomes purified. Sometimes we abstain from these activities, but mentally we maintain our attachments. So actually a devotee has to give up even the mental attachments. Somebody who is a, say for instance, somebody who has addiction for drugs, when he comes to a temple, he gives up taking drugs physically. But if he maintains his mental attachment, if he keeps on thinking, oh, how nice it is to take drugs, that's called mental attachment. So if he maintains his mental attachment, then Maya will get him sooner or later. Sometime Maya will trick him and force him or make him indulge in that activity and fall down. That's why it is very important for a devotee not even to mentally indulge in those activities, those sinful activities. There is a very nice shloka in Bhagavad Gita. Karmendriyani samjamma ja aste manasasmaran. Then one line, then mithacharo sarvasati. I'm forgetting one line in between. Sarvendriyani samjamma. One who withdraws his senses, who controls his senses, but he dwells in the mind. Remembers those activities in the mind. With his gross karma indriya, with his gross senses, working senses, he does not indulge in those activities. But by mind, in his mind he dwells in them, or in his mind he contemplates on them. Javaste manusha smaran. Manusha means by mind, and smaran means remember. Then, although he is pretending to be a yogi or a devotee, but actually, mithacharosha uchyate, he is actually a hypocrite. It's a very important thing to remember that when we become devotee, we must give up any material attachments, even in our mind. All material attachments should be given up, even in our mind. Even in our mind, we should not maintain any material attachments. It is difficult, but one has to. That's what Prabhupada said. Time and time again, Prabhupada actually said that brahmacharis should not even think about material enjoyment, even in his mind. That is the meaning of brahmachari. Brahma acharati iti brahmachari. So what is Brahma? What is Brahma? Brahma means the spiritual nature. And acharati, one who is situated on the spiritual nature. So he should not dwell in the material nature anymore. Material nature is the nature of enjoyment. Isn't it? Material nature is the place where everybody gets a chance to enjoy without Krishna. But that is false. It's not possible to enjoy without Krishna. So, being bewildered, the conditioned living entities are trying to enjoy in the material nature. And what is the result of his endeavor for enjoyment? What happens when one tries to enjoy the material nature? The more he tries to enjoy, the more he gets a kick in his face. Right? The more he tries to enjoy, the more he suffers. Actually, more the endeavor, bigger is the frustration. That's why you notice in the West, so many people commit suicide. So many people commit suicide. Why? Although apparently there is so much enjoyment in the West. In the West, people are making such extraneous endeavor to enjoy. People are working like madmen to enjoy.
What happened? Sex mode.
Oh, I see. And There is so much endeavor for enjoyment. People are working so hard. But they think that by dint of their endeavor, they are going to get the real enjoyment. But then they become frustrated. And when they become frustrated, when they become extremely frustrated, then they just kill themselves. It's not only in the West, also in some Eastern countries, like in Singapore and Hong Kong, where they're very materialistic. The suicide rate is increasing so much. Like I heard, Singapore has a phenomenal number of suicide. And the standard of living is so high there, just to cope up the standard of living, they have to work like mad dogs. I mean, it's a must that people must work overtime, three, four hours every day. Why? Because they are being tempted with all kinds of allurements. Maya is tempting them with all kinds of allurements. Come, enjoy me. And in order to enjoy, one has to have money. Right? Then they work like madmen to get the money. And when they go to enjoy with the money, then Maya just takes the money and kicks him on the face. And that's how it's happening. And when he gets the kick, he feels completely frustrated. Oh, what's the use of my life? Then they just go and kill themselves. So we can see that this material nature is actually the nature of enjoyment. But a devotee should not indulge in those enjoyments. Devotee must know, must understand from the very depth of his heart that there is no enjoyment. So then, what is his realization? He realizes that there is no enjoyment in the material nature, but there is the real enjoyment in the spiritual nature. Actually, devotees are the only ones, those who know what real fact is. And that's why devotees can so easily admit that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. You go and tell a karmi that there is no enjoyment in the material nature. He'll become furious, isn't he? When you tell the karmis that you can't enjoy. They say, no, who says that? I'm enjoying. But that's actually their stupidity. They're foolish to think that they're enjoying. Where is the enjoyment? Like when we think about our past life, we can see like how we were suffering, right? And I'm from a poor man, the poorest man on the street, up to the richest man, everyone is suffering. And Krishna says, dukhalayam ashashvatam. This material nature is a place for misery. Material nature is a place where everyone is supposed to get all kinds of miseries. And if due to their stupidity some people are thinking that they are enjoying, then it's ashashvatam. It's only temporary. Somebody may be thinking that he is enjoying very much. Like a drunkard. He's a perfect example. A drunkard thinks that he is enjoying. He completely lost his consciousness. He lost all his intelligence. And he is thinking that he has become Napoleon. He has become the king. Or, so that is how the material nature works. Material nature bewilders our senses, bewilders our intelligence, and makes us think that we are so happy. But then when the drunkard comes back to his senses in the morning, he sees that he is lying in the gutter. Right? That is the enjoyment of materialism. They try to enjoy, they think for the time being, oh, I'm enjoying so much. But then when they come back to their senses, then they realize how miserable they are. And there are so many, actually there are so many writings like that. Like, some people can understand that point, I remember reading so many plays and stories where they realize that there is nothing but suffering. So a devotee realizes that this material nature is full of suffering, but the real enjoyment is in the spiritual nature. And that's why he becomes situated on the spiritual platform. Why did you come here? Why did you join ISKCON? Huh? Gunther?
Nervous. Huh? There's a lightness in my mind.
Yeah. Und du hast ganz verstanden, dass echte Zufriedenheit hier, enjoyment, in his spiritual Leben. So the real enjoyment is in the spiritual life. And that's why we realized it and we have come here. Now we came to spiritual life, so now why should we dwell in material attachments? If we come to the spiritual life and think, oh, it would be better to go back home. After all, I was happier at home. Will it be a proper conclusion to maintain some attachments like that? Or often devotees have the problem, like they come to Krishna consciousness and they become fixed up for some time, and then they begin to think that maybe it is better if I get married and so on and so forth. But Krishna consciousness means the realization that our only attachment is actually Krishna. Actually Prabhupada told me once, you see, once Bhavananda Maharaj and myself went to a palmist in Delhi. So this man saw our palm, and I was already a sannyasi, and this man said that, well, you'll get married. And I was devastated. So I went and told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we went to a palmist and this palmist said that I'll get married. So what will happen to me? Then Prabhupada said, what do you get married? You're already married. You're married to Krishna. So that is how we become situated in our spiritual platform. And when Prabhupada said that, I was so relieved. And I realized that our real attachment is to Krishna, not to anyone else. We don't depend on anyone. It's natural in the material platform, a man wants to depend on a woman and a woman wants to depend on a man. But we have to understand that we are neither man nor woman. That is simply the body. Our body is man's or woman's. But in our spiritual identity, we are beyond this body. In the spiritual nature also there are male body and female bodies. But that is totally different. That is a spiritual body. But now we are in the material nature, we have this material body which is temporary, and the body has certain demands. And those demands are also actually material. So you must try to overcome those demands. As long as we have the body, the demands of the body will be there. A man will want a woman and a woman will want a man. But we must understand that that is only the body that craving. But we are spirit souls, and the spirit is not actually dependent on those desires, or spirit doesn't have those desires or cravings. It's very important for a devotee to realize that and get fixed up. But of course, if the spiritual master sees that some disciple should get married, that is a different thing. In the Vedic system, one does not want to get married himself. Even I saw in my childhood that in India, one did not want to get married himself. Or even if the proposal was made that one should get married, he would always decline. said, no, no, I don't want to get married. Like, I remember when I was young, one of my uncles was asked to get married. I mean, the arrangement was made, and the bride was selected, and he was very adamant not to get. He was very much refusing that proposal. I was then ultimately everyone convinced him, and he got married. At least, I don't know how genuine it is, but at least one makes a show. Anyway, that's a karmic life, but we devotees must understand that these are actually material bondage, and one must be willing to become free from them. And if we think it with knowledge, it becomes very clear actually. These material attachments are so illusory. Like a man who is so much willing to have a woman, so much craving to have a woman, most really in his previous life he was a woman. Right? And a woman who is so much wanting to have a man, in her previous life, most really she was a man. And so this is how we are bewildered. But if we think properly, then we can think that, like, if somebody realizes that, well, there was a time when I had a woman's body, and when I had the woman's body, then I was thinking of getting a man's body. And now I got the man's body, now I'm not satisfied, now I want a woman's body. So this is how the cycle goes on. This craving for each other is actually to crave for the body of each other. A man is not satisfied with his man's body and he wants a woman's body. And a woman is not satisfied with her woman's body, so she wants a man's body. So this is how what we do not have, we want. But we don't realize that we actually have to become ourself. And ourself means we have to become spiritual. Ourself is actually spiritual. And the way to become spiritual is by developing our attachment to Krishna. And when we become attached to Krishna, then we'll become free from this body, material body. Man's body or woman's body will not make any difference at that time. But if we maintain the attachment, then we will deviate from Krishna consciousness. If we maintain our attachment, then there's a great possibility that we will fall down from Krishna consciousness. Because sometime Maya will trick us. Actually, Maya is always trying to get us. And Maya knows, Maya also knows our hearts. So wherever our weakness is, in due course of time Maya will just get us there. If somebody is attached to something, then in the right time Maya will give him that. And by giving him that, Maya will make him fall down. Maya is actually very, very smart. Maya knows our weaknesses, and Maya's business is to test us whether we have become ready to go back to Godhead. So as we advance, Maya's test will become harder and harder. Like in the beginning, we see that Maya does not really affect us so much. But as we make advancement, then Maya becomes stronger and stronger. And it has been explained by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when a living entity is about to leave this material nature, then the ultimate point that he has... Says, why are you going? Come, let's enjoy. So can you imagine how difficult it's going to be?
What to talk about if someone has some attachment for a woman's body? When he sees Maya, he'll immediately get bewildered. Especially when Maya is offering herself to him like that. But if we have our attachment fixed on Krishna's lotus feet, then if even Maya Devi comes, we'll just offer our obeisances to her and say, please, bless me that I can go back to Krishna. Like Haridas Thakur. Maya Devi herself, Maya herself came to taste him. But Haridas Thakur was completely fixed up in Krishna's lotus feet. So although Maya herself came, but Haridas Thakur was not at all affected. So we have to become very fixed up in our spiritual life. And the way we become fixed up on spiritual life is by Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nittam means always. Always remembering Krishna, always rendering service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Actually, it's a very great advantage that we have. Very great advantage that we have is that we are an association of devotees. It's a great advantage. Because as long as we are in the association of devotees, we will be safe. But if we are not in the association of devotees, then we will have problems. Now, can you imagine if you are alone in Vienna, trying to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness? Will anybody succeed? I know I won't succeed. I won't succeed myself, and only some very rare devotees like Prabhupada will succeed. Very advanced devotees will succeed. Like I envy those people, those who are preaching in the communist countries and other places, those who are alone practically. I admire those Russian devotees, those who are, in spite of so much troubles and so much persecution, they're still maintaining the Krishna. That's so wonderful. But that shows how advanced they are. But not all of us are so advanced. Alone we cannot really pursue our Krishna consciousness. But we are very safe that we have this platform of association. We have the association of devotees, and the devotees are always helping us. Helping us to remember Krishna all the time and helping us not to fall down. Okay, so all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Is there any question? Does anybody have any question?
There is one story where Srila Prabhupada was asking for two devotees who were authorities in certain, I guess in India even, and he was asking whether there was for some meeting or lecture or something like that. And then he was told that they were sweeping the floor somewhere. And then there was a morning darshan. And then he was saying they should come immediately, and this cleaning work can be done by even by karmas. So my question is, if on the other hand we see that it's always necessary when cooks, one has to clean, one gets prasadam, one has to clean the floor, that this is not like a duality in devotional service, that we see something as a minor or something as a more important. The preaching definitely is the essence, but there are so many other things supporting it, which we cannot separate.
You see, ultimately, of course, everything is absolute, right? In ultimate consideration, everything that is spiritual is absolute. There is no higher or lower.
But from marginal perspective, there is higher and lower. Like if it's a choice between cleaning the kitchen and listening to Bhagavatam class, then listening to Bhagavatam class is higher. Right? That's a marginal consideration. But in the spiritual platform, in the absolute spiritual platform, all are absolute. In there, in the spiritual sky, rendering, you know, cleaning the kitchen and listening to Bhagavatam is both are actually equal. Because both are absolute. Cleaning the kitchen and listening to Bhagavatam in the spiritual sky are non-different. Because when you are listening to Bhagavatam, then you are meditating on Krishna. When you are cleaning the kitchen, then also you are meditating on Krishna. When you are cooking prasadam, then you are also meditating on Krishna. When you are swimming in Jamuna, then also you are meditating on Krishna. So in the spiritual platform, everyone is constantly meditating on Krishna. So that's why it's all absolute. Because all the time, everyone is Krishna conscious in all the services.
Can we say that for our position, marginal position, that it is a solution that, for example, that whenever we have to do this so-called minor activity, that we always listen to that. Like for example, this lecture you're giving now is heard in the kitchen as well, because there's a loudspeaker. That we always combine this with
some... Yes, we try our best to make arrangements as much as possible. But still there will be the questions of priority. Like now, you know, like say, as we said, like for him, the person who is cooking, for him it is more important to cook than sit in the class. Right?
Mm.
So we are making discrimination. Like for him it is more important to be in the kitchen. But for you it's more important that you sit here. Because he has to cook, otherwise prasadam won't be offered in time.
So that means whatever our duties is
the most important. Whatever our duties, that's the most important.
What is the best way to stay a brahmachari to give some advice or instructions?
It is said in the scriptures that one becomes detached with knowledge. Jnana Vairagya. Jnana means knowledge and Vairagya means renunciation. You see, we do not become renounced by force. Because if we try to do it by force, you know, like by physical force or something like that, or simply by our will, it won't be very effective. Because at certain point of time, we may break. Right? So it is advised that one does it, one maintains his detachment or renunciation by knowledge. Now if you think that what is material enjoyment, and if you have the real understanding, right? Like Prabhupada gave me an example once, that when the body, when it itches, then you like to scratch, right? It's a natural tendency that you'd like to scratch. But if you realize that if you scratch, then the itch will become worse and worse, and it will start bleeding, and it will become an ulcer, right? So then you, although it is scratching, although it's itching, you do not scratch it. You abstain from that activity. And then in due course of time, it is healed. Right? So with knowledge one must, and actually once Prabhupada gave me a full lecture on that. I was sitting, Prabhupada was having a massage, and in the mornings I used to write the letters and take them to Prabhupada and read them out. I was working as Prabhupada's secretary, so Prabhupada wanted me to reply his letters. And so in the morning I would just go and read out the letters and then Prabhupada would sign them. So one day Prabhupada was having a massage, and I went there, I read out the letters, and then after that I was just sitting there watching Prabhupada having the massage, just trying to have as much
of darshan as possible. And then Prabhupada started to speak. Prabhupada said, you try to enjoy many lifetimes when you can see that you are still not satisfied. So this life you just offer to Krishna. So that was the very beginning. I was not even initiated at that time. So this life you just offer to Krishna. And then he explained that this material nature is the prison house of sex desire. The way one is chained in the prison, one is tied down in the prison by chain. In this material nature, we all are tied down by sex desire. Everyone, starting from an insect up to the demigods, all are tied down to this material nature by sex desire. Now, if you want to become free from material bondage, then you have to conquer your sex desire. And then he explained what the sex desire is. He compared it to a camel eating thorns. A camel eats thorns, and while eating the thorn, his mouth starts to bleed. Right? And the camel actually tastes his blood and thinks, oh, how wonderful these thorns are. How delicious these thorns are. Right? The same way, we in sex life, one loses his vitality, his very essence of his life. And he thinks, oh, how delicious this sex life is. So, and this way he was explaining that how sex life is actually a very, very illusory trick of Maya. We think that we are going to enjoy our sex life, but actually we end up suffering our sex life. So this is how, in being situated in real knowledge, one must conquer sex desire. And by being situated on the spiritual consciousness, remain a brahmachari or become a brahmachari.
You said that by leaving this scratching, that this wound gets healed by itself. But on the other hand, we hear this story as Srila Satsvaru Maharaj considered this as one of the heaviest or the heaviest he heard, with this old man who was on the was laying down, was close to death, and this king was coming there with his daughter to prove to his minister that the sex desire is there even until the last breath, until the last minute.
Well, that's an example, but are we going to become like that old man? That's at the beginning I said we should not dwell in our mind remembering on the objects of enjoyment.
So the solution is just training from the very...
No, becoming attached to Krishna. You see, the real enjoyment is in Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. Right? So when you become attached to Krishna and when you get the real taste of real enjoyment, then you automatically become joyful. And then you do not want that lower enjoyment. Getting the higher taste, we give up the lower taste. Right? Yes?
I've got a question. If someone is going back to spiritual world, Krishna Loka, so it said that he will never come back to nature, to material nature. And is it possible in a theoretical way to act around in the spiritual world so that someone can fall down again?
Well, you see, anybody can fall down if Krishna desires. If Krishna wants somebody to come from the spiritual nature to material nature, then Krishna can send him. Because Krishna is the ultimate controller. But generally to say that, you know the expression, once bitten, twice shy?
Yeah.
Right? So once you have suffered in the material nature, and then when you go back to the spiritual nature, then you do not want to come back. Like a person who committed some crime and punished in the prison, then he doesn't want to go back to the prison again. he knows that if I make another mistake, another crime, then I'll again be put into the prison, so I better not commit any mistake. So that's why a devotee wants a person who goes back to Godhead from material nature, he doesn't come back.